This is Jake Brown, and I'm the credit manager for Egg Services. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Egg Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart along with Sierra Doctor. Harvest Hotline is presented by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, the North Dakota Mill, and Pivot Bio. Dry conditions run the risk of harming soybean yields, and it's dry out there. Too dry, and soybean pods could split open and drop beans on the ground before being harvested. University of Minnesota Extension Regional Soil Educator Jody DeYoung-Hughes says a little bit of rain could also help tamper the risk of machinery fires, but there is limited rain in this forecast.
But we could use some rain, definitely. Farmers have been reporting that they need to blow out the combine, you know, and the engines and stuff like that. Make sure that you don't have too much dust and everything in there because, one little spark and we can, you know, fires could take off pretty easy this year.
DeYoung-Hughes says the crop is showing its resiliency. Soybean moisture reports have been adequate.
According to West Central Ag Services grain merchandiser Randy Zimmerman, more than half of the soybean crop in western Minnesota is combined. There's a lot of enthusiasm for this crop.
We're probably going to be, you know, better than average, and at least in the Yulin area. We've gotten some of the timely rains, and that's certainly helped, you know, late July, early August rains have helped probably fill some of those top pods, and you know, I think we'll be in that 45 to 50 bushel area for the most part.
Most of the corn is black layered.
Again, the frost, I think, would probably put an end to anything there as far as any potential, you know, water getting into that kernel and maybe even help with dry down a little further. I've heard of a few guys out taking a field or two here or there, and moistures are anywhere from 17 to 26%. On some of that stuff that they've been trying to go ahead and combine. The other stuff out there, you know, I think we've had some guys hand shelling some, and a lot of it's coming in under 30% moisture now, and if we can catch another week or 10 days of some fairly decent weather, that certainly will be beneficial.
Canola harvest is winding down. Northern Canola Growers Association Executive Director Barry Coleman says there are spots where yields are disappointing.
It looks like the harvest is about 88% completed, which is behind 95% last year and the 90% average. So it's pretty well at the average level for this time of year. So we continue to hear both terrific yields and then some areas of concern, I guess. As we had mentioned before, the Southwest appeared to have generally lower than expected yields. And they're trying to kind of pinpoint just what happened and if it was too much moisture early on, too much heat in the summer, or what it was. But generally disappointing yields as we go through Mercer County, Hazen area, up through west of Minot and up into Kenmare, all terrific yields, hearing canola yields in the 2,200 to 2,500 plus range.
The dry weather this summer affected more than just the U.S. canola crop. The canola in Canada has surprisingly low yield reports as well.
Farm Rescue is in Minnesota today. Georgetown farmer Tom Odegaard suffered a leg injury this spring, preventing him from finishing up harvest. Volunteers have been deployed to Odegaard's farm to complete the rest of the work. Farm Rescue provides assistance to farmers and ranchers with unexpected medical injury, illness, and natural disasters. And that's Harvest Hotline, presented by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Pivot Bio, the North Dakota Mill, and Amity Technology.
The National Weather Service has a freeze warning in effect for central and western North Dakota and northern South Dakota. Tonight into early Friday morning, temperatures are expected to drop into the 20s. Here's National Weather Service meteorologist Travis Tarver.
Maybe even closer to 20 degrees, you know, lower 20s the way it looks. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if some kind of favored cold spots like the James River Valley or into portions of north central South Dakota. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if some areas sneak into the upper teens, but yeah, you know, it looks like widespread 20s for most locations, you know, maybe even some low to mid 20s.
Dry conditions in South Dakota and Minnesota worsened in the last week. North Dakota's dry conditions are consistent with the previous week. In Minnesota, extreme drought is now on the map in the southern part of the state. Abnormally dry and severe drought conditions are moving further north and along the western edge of the state. Portions of Roseau County are now showing abnormally dry. Kitson County does not have any dryness showing on the map. In South Dakota, extreme drought also worsened in the southeastern portion of the state. Abnormally dry and moderate drought conditions remain in the northeastern part of South Dakota. In North Dakota, has severe and moderate drought conditions, along with abnormally dry conditions across the entire state.
All September, South Dakota State University Extension state climatologist Laura Edwards says the Aberdeen, South Dakota airport only measured 11 hundredths of measurable precipitation.
That's just an indicator of how dry it's been. Most of central and eastern South Dakota actually had less than 25% of their average moisture for the month of September. And so we've seen that over the drought monitor as they've had gradual degradations over the last few weeks. And this week with the new introduction of D3 or extreme drought around the Huron area.
These dry conditions are a turnaround from spring when there was excess moisture in portions of the state and a lot of prevent plant acres. Now harvest is quickly moving along.
Allendale is forecasting corn production at 13.9 billion bushels and soybean production at 4.4 billion. That's on par with the latest USDA estimate for corn production and slightly higher for soybeans. The brokerage firm is predicting the average corn yield nationwide at 172.4 bushels per acre. Soybean yields are forecast just below 51 bushels per acre. USDA will release its next supply-demand report on Wednesday.
While the United States is harvesting corn and soybeans, Brazilian farmers are starting to plant crops. Brazilian crop agency CONAB is forecasting Brazil's 2022-23 soybean crop at a record 152.4 million metric tons. Last year's soybean crop in Brazil was the second largest ever at 125.5 million metric tons despite the drought. Brazil's corn crop for this year is forecast at 126.9 million metric tons. This would also be a record if realized. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday farm news on the Red River Farm Network. According to Sove Econ in a consultancy group, grain shipments are getting slower out of the Black Sea region due to the time it takes to inspect grain vessels. Inspections at Bosphorus in August and the first half of September were taking 5 to 6 days after leaving Odessa with foodstuffs out of Ukraine. During the second half of September, the time increased to 10 to 15 days for inspections. Ukrainian weekly shipments from Odessa terminals peaked in mid-September at 1.3 million metric tons, but has since fallen to 0.9 million tons. 88 vessels as of October 5th have not passed inspection.
Weekly U.S. export sales report shows lower than expected corn sales at 227,000 metric tons. Traders were expecting export sales ranging from 350,000 tons to 800,000 tons. Wheat export sales and soybean export sales were within trade expectations. Zahner Ag Hedge Chief Market Strategist Ted Seifried calls today's report lackluster.
This is the time of year where we would hope to see or expect to see some bigger numbers on the export sales, the weekly report.
Demand concerns are trickling into the grain markets.
We have risk off. We've got the dollar turning around and going higher once again. That is a bit of a concern. Your stock markets are lower. And then to go a little bit further, we've got a USDA WASDE report coming in a week, which is going to have a whole bunch of moving parts because we know that beginning stocks are going to change. They're going to be lower for corn by a substantial amount, about 150 million bushels, but they're going to be higher for soybeans. And so that really begs the question, you know, what is the USDA going to do on yields? Because this is really the last yield update they'll give us between now and January. And how does that all play into a balance sheet?
Bigger beginning stocks and possible demand reductions may not offset a lower yield. The U.S. could be looking at a bigger soybean carryover than expected.
The World Trade Organization is forecasting a significant decline in global trade growth next year. Growth is forecast at 1% compared to a previous estimate of 3.4%. The WTO Director General urged member countries to avoid trade restrictions to counter supply chain problems.
Virginia Tech Professor Emeritus David Cole says it takes solid financial knowledge to manage the three-headed dragon of price volatility, higher input cost, and rising interest rates.
If it's not well managed with a good financial and business IQ, that will take liquidity, profits, and equity off the balance sheet. But the folks that have a high business IQ, they will actually put profits, liquidity, and equity on the balance sheets. And so The remainder of this decade, you're going to see the better will get better, the worse you're going to fall behind.
Farmers should be learning from history. The 1970s and 80s were gloomy in agriculture, but this time required farmers and ag lenders to learn to be better managers.
Sometimes you've got to have a crisis to make you better. And what concerns me right now, I was mentioning the audience, I was in a driverless car on the West Coast last week, and it kind of reminds me of ag right now, where we're flushing these government payments and all this, flushing cash flow, and it's like the driverless car. We've become complacent, and complacency kills. And we're also very complacent because our balance sheet with paper wealth, inflated assets, has increased. So one of the things is some of these economic shocks, the real good manager will put priorities on managing the things that they can manage and manage around the uncontrollables.
Good relationships are also key in tough times. Cole is a speaker at the North Dakota Ag Credit Conference wrapping up in Fargo today.
North Dakota Farm Bureau and North Dakota Farmers Union are working together in opposition to a ballot initiative seeking term limits. The constitutional ballot measure would limit the time in office for a governor or state legislator. NDFB President Daryl Lee says it's already difficult to maintain representation for rural issues.
We believe that we should have the opportunity and the freedom to vote for who our choice is, not someone that is just put on the ballot because, you know what, the other guy hit the subjective date and he's no longer able to do it, and it wasn't the voter's choice.
North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney said term limits put more power into the hands of professional lobbyists and career bureaucrats. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet News newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It's all at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Backgrounding programs can add value to calves after weaning, but high feed prices could shorten profits. Oklahoma State University Extension Beef Nutrition Specialist Paul Beck says the number of feeder calves means putting more weight on them for spring to add value.
It appears we've had a lot of our normal fall run of calves already hit the market, especially here in the Southern Plains. A lot of those cattle have gone to the feedlots already, so it appears like there's going to be a shortage of cattle, especially later in the next spring. And, you know, the futures market, you know, makes it appear like there's going to be a premium on some heavier feeder cattle next spring. And, you know, what I always look at is, you know, our projected cost of gain in the feed yard are closely mirrored by the value of gain of growing stocker calves.
For those with feedlots, Beck recommends looking at the value of gains cattle could put on to calculate break-evens.
I've seen some projected feedlot cost of gains in the upper $1.30 to $1.40 range. And when we start looking at value gain going from lightweight wean calf up to feeder weights, we're looking at value of gains right there in mid-130s to mid-140s. So what that tells us is if we can put gain on those lighter weight calves for less than that cost, then, you know, that should be profitable to do.
Taking a quick look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, grain markets continue to trade lower. Livestock markets are mixed. December Minneapolis wheat down 17 and three quarters at 963 and three quarters. December Chicago wheat down 23 and three quarters at 878 and a quarter. December corn down 9 at 675 and a quarter. March corn down 8 and three quarters at 682 and a half. November beans down 12 and three quarters at 1357. March beans down 9 and a quarter at $13.79 and three quarters. November canola down $7.90 Canadian. October live cattle up 52 cents. December up 5 cents. October feeder cattle down 65 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.